Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Coming up in just a few moments, we've got a portion of a powerful message that was delivered in the sanctuary of Christian Apostolic Church entitled The Well. But first, we have some great music for you from Phillips, Craig, and Dean. And before we get to that, I want to read for you an email that I received from Charles and Christina Lee. Christina is an author, journalist, and inspirational speaker. And we got this email from her. She said, "I just wanted to let you know that I got your trilogy for Christmas and just finished reading The Last Buy to my children. They are very upset that there are no more books in this series. Your books are wonderful, even better than C.S. Lewis's A Horse and His Boy. If you write any more in this series or any other sci-fi stuff, please let me know. Sincerely, Christina Lee." I've been telling people for some time that if you enjoy reading the Chronicles of Narnia series by C.S. Lewis, you will love reading my latest novel entitled The Last Buy. That's B-Y-E as in journey. Instead of C.S. Lewis's The Horse and His Boy, this novel is more like The Flying Dinosaur and His Boy. You're sure to love it, and your kids are sure to love it. It's available on Amazon.com, as well as AuthorStock.com, and anywhere that fine books are sold. You can read a large portion for free on any of those aforementioned websites, and we hope that you'll check out my third novel, The Last Buy. And now, from their project entitled Fearless, this is one of my favorite songs, and it's a huge hit. From Phillips, Craig, and Dean, this is the Revelation Song.
At the mention of your name.
And now, we've got a portion of a powerful message that was delivered in the sanctuary of Christian Apostolic Church entitled, The Well.
If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 12. We don't often think of Isaiah as being a psalm writer. But here in Isaiah chapter 12, we have a psalm. It is a hymn of thanksgiving written, inspired by the Lord to the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 12, and it's just these six verses, and this beautiful hymn reads this way. And in that day, thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. And the Hebrew word that is translated there as salvation, God is my salvation, is Yeshua, which when you translate it into Aramaic is Yesu, and into Greek is Jesus, and into Latin is Iesus, and into English is Jesus. This verse literally says, behold, God is my Jesus. What does it mean when God is your Jesus, when He is your salvation? This is what it means. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah, or in other words, Yahweh, is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord. Call upon His name. Declare His doings among the people. Make mention that His name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for He hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion. For great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Amen. Inside of every man and woman, there is a well. Inside of every boy and every girl, there is a well. People in life that don't have God find themselves desperately turning to that well on the inside, trying to find some water in a dry well. And life hands them heartache and pain and disappointment. And they retreat inward to a place where they expect to find some solace. And the well is dry. And school teachers watch in pain as their students approach them needing guidance. And mothers anguish as their children need from their parents a strength that they cannot muster. And they turn to the well on the inside, and it is dry. We are distanced from God because of our mistakes. We are separated from God because of our sins. But I want you to know it is not because that He is unwilling to forgive. The Lord had a plan from before the creation of the cosmos that would provide the man Christ Jesus to die on the cross to become our salvation. And in that day, what day is that? The Scripture says, behold, this is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. We're referring to the day when a man or a woman finally comes to themselves and realizes, I'm sitting here in the pig slop of life. I am sitting here in the pig pen of the world. My life is in disarray and my well is dry and I have nothing. And they say, I will arise and go to my father's house because there's plenty there. In that day, you're going to be able to say, Lord, I will praise you. You were angry with me. It's past tense. But you're not angry with me anymore. Your anger has been turned away. What is it that has turned away the anger of God? Can I tell you that nothing and no one, no great deed, no heroic act, no noble gesture on your part can turn away the anger of God? There is one thing and only one thing that can turn away the anger of God. And that is the cross of Calvary, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus upon that tree that turns away the wrath of God for sin. You want to know how God feels about sin? I want to tell you tonight in no uncertain terms, God is not soft on sin. There came a day when the Lord said, it repents me that I made man. I'm going to wipe them out. I'm going to start over. There came a day when he shut the door on Noah's ark and he caused a rain that came. And only that small number that got onto the ark that had faith to obey God survived. God is not soft on sin. There came a day when the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah rose up as a stench in the nostrils of God to the point that he said, I'm going to wipe them out. He stopped on the way to talk to his friend Abraham, the friend of God. He told him what he was going to do. Abraham bargained with God, Lord, if we can just find a few righteous people in the city, will you spare the city? And the Lord said, yes, I would. But the Lord knew that there weren't that many righteous people in the city. The Lord will not destroy the righteous with the wicked. So he sent angels to fetch out that prophet Lot, whose soul was vexed by the wickedness that he saw around him. And then God rained fire from heaven down on Sodom and Gomorrah. Can I tell you, God is not soft on sin. If you're thinking, if you've got it in your mind that you can live in your sins and go to judgment day in your sins and that God is going to go easy on you because he's soft on sin, you've not been reading the Bible and you don't know the God of the Bible. He is not soft on sin. If you want to know how God feels about sin, you can even look beyond the flood. You can look beyond the fire on Sodom and Gomorrah. You can look all the way to Calvary. Look at what he did to his own humanity. Look at what he did to his own son. All of God's mercy and all of God's judgment kissed on the cross. The blood ran down from his body until he was bled out. Stripes gaped and bleeding on his back. Feet and hands pierced. A crown of thorns. He's gasping for air. He can't see because the blood is running in his eyes. He's tasting his own blood. It's gurgling up from his lungs. He's suffocating on that tree. Oh God! He cries out. Yes, in his humanity. It's not the cry of deity to deity. It's the cry of humanity. The prophetic psalm, Psalm 22. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because God is not soft on sin. The Lord Jesus could have spared himself from all of that pain by just simply saying, I admit it, I'm not the Christ, I blasphemed. But he said, no, bring on the suffering because I'm not soft on sin. He could have overruled their monkey trial. He could have overruled their trial in which they broke their own Mosaic law over and over again in how they tried him. He could have stood up and said, as the Christ, this is not a lawful execution. I call angels down. But he said, no, I will endure this because God is not soft on sin. And so it is that we stand. If you want to go to judgment and think that you're going to stand before God sheltered by your own good deeds, you are gravely mistaken. It is one of the most unwise things that you could ever do. I'm preaching to you tonight, there is only one way to God. There is only one way of salvation. There is only one hope of heaven. There is only one sacrifice that can turn away God's wrath. Your heart's cry has got to be this: behold, God is my salvation. It's got to be this: God is my Jesus. It is only because of Jesus and His sacrifice on the cross that we can stand and boldly say, I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength. He is my song. And He also has become my salvation. And it is at that point, in John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39, the Bible says, in that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. The gospel writer went on to say, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. And so it is that after you turn to him as your salvation, after you turn to God as your Jesus, after He fills you with His Spirit, the well is no longer dry. Does it mean that your roof won't leak from time to time? No. Does it mean your dryer won't go out? No. Does it mean your microwave won't blow up? No. Does it mean you won't have a blowout on the road? No. But what it means is, when life deals you a raw hand and you have nowhere to turn, you can say, wait a minute, the well is not dry because I've got the Holy Ghost. And with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. When that UPS man turned around at the door and with tears running down his face, Reg Hoblitzel looked back and said, I don't know what it is you people have, but I sure would like to have it. Can I tell you, it wasn't because he looked at people who didn't have money problems. It wasn't because he looked at people who didn't face health challenges. It wasn't because he looked at people who their marriage was just hunky-dory and they never had a fight. It wasn't because he looked at people who just had all the education and all the money and all the right employment and all the perfect things in life. No. What he saw was flawed people, human people, people who had made mistakes, people who had a background, people who had struggles, people that life was dealing them the curveballs that it dealt. But what he saw, it wasn't that they had a different world to live in. It's that they had a different Jesus on the inside. They had a well that had water. Living water. Living water. I want to read this again for you. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Notice it didn't say happiness. Happiness is a feeling of euphoria based on good happenings. Good happenings make you happy. Joy has nothing to do with happenings. What are you so happy about? Life just threw you a curveball. My joy isn't based on what life does around me. My joy comes from the one who's on the inside. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. With joy. If you chain your happiness to outside events, then you are going to be chained to those outside events when those outside events are not good. If you chain your happiness to external stimuli, you're going to be chained to the wrong source when the external stimuli goes bad. I remember Brother Cole telling about an instance when an American veteran met a Japanese veteran at a church conference. Both of them filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. And the American veteran said to the Japanese veteran, "My country taught me to hate you, but the Holy Ghost inside taught me to love you." Their national flags had taught them to kill each other. Their national flags and the external events, the president, the emperor, the economy, had taught them to attack and kill one another. But the Holy Ghost on the inside told them something different. I was riding in the car today with Pastor David Harris Sr. He called to find out what hospital Elder Hoskins was in. And when I found out he was going, I asked if I could hitch a ride with him. Not just because it would save both of us gas money by splitting the trip, but just to get a chance to fellowship with him. It was good fellowship. Don't you just love to fellowship with the people of God? I found out during the trip that their church has enough money to pay for shingles or metal for the roof, but they don't have enough to pay for the labor. And they're facing having to get a loan. And I told him, I said, "Pastor Harris, why don't you let us get a team of men together and we can donate the labor and we can get that roof put on for you so you don't have to get a loan." Amen. I think we need to help people. I think there's coming a day, you know, I don't know when, maybe next spring or whenever, when we hopefully begin to utilize what financing we can get and begin to go into a building project. But I believe if we help other people, the Lord will smile on us when it comes time for what we need to do. And so here we are. We're doing our best to try to save money to build a new church in a better location, a better building. And meanwhile, we're giving to missions and doing everything we can to help others. We live in a day and age when it's become so busy. Churches really used to help one another more. And now you can't hardly find a day when everybody can be off from work and not be sick and not have too many irons in the fire and make it into help. We were lamenting that. Research shows, the statistics tell us, that the amount of leisure hours of the average American has been dwindling every year for the past few years. It's getting to where people don't have any leisure time anymore. You better have your priorities right in this world. I remember there was a leadership class, and the story is told, this very, very skillful motivational speaker teaching this leadership class. And they brought out a humongous empty jar. And they brought out these big river rocks, and they packed the jar till it was full. And then they said, "Is this jar full?" And several people said, "Yeah, it looks full." He said, "This jar is not full." He brought out a bucket of pea gravel, and he shook the pea gravel in, and the pea gravel ran in around the big river rocks. And then he said, "Is this jar full?" And they caught on. And the room said, "No, it's not full yet." He said, "You're right." And then he brought out a bag of sand, and he began to shake sand in, and the sand went in around the pea gravel and between the river rocks and filled it up. And he said, "Is this jar full?" And somebody said, I'm betting you're going to tell us it's not full yet." And he said, "Yeah, you're right, it's not full yet." And then he brought out a pitcher of water, and he poured water in, and the water went around the sand and the pea gravel and the river rocks. He said, "What's the lesson?" And somebody said, "The lesson is, no matter how busy your schedule is, you can always squeeze something else in." And he said, "No, that's not the lesson. The lesson is, you better put the big rocks in first." Folks, I promise you, this world is going to find a way to fill up your jar. Jesus said, "Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." If you wait until the world fills your jar up and then you decide you're going to try to squeeze in a prayer life and church attendance and loving God and helping people, you're not going to be able to squeeze it in. It's too late. You have got to make up your mind. I am in charge of my time. I am in charge of my priorities. I will decide. And that's the person that shows up faithful for church. That's the person who makes time for the prayer meeting. That's the person who says, "No, teaching this Bible study is more important than this frivolous thing over here." That's the person who says, "Living for God is the big rocks and all the rest of it is the small stuff." Better have your priorities right. People say, I'm sorry, we're not going to be able to come to church. We got family coming into town. When my family comes down, we come to church with my family. Say, well, they don't live for God. All the more reason to bring them to church. Well, we can't come because we got to clean the house. So what you're saying is cleaning the house is more important than coming to God's house. Sounds like your priorities are out of order. You're putting little stuff in and leaving big stuff out. I want to tell you that in this day and age, with leisure hours shrinking and it getting harder and harder to find time to do what needs to be done, what is rightfully needing to be done, we need to fight against that and making sure that we keep our priorities right. Amen. If you're too busy to come to church, you're too busy. If you're too busy to have a prayer life, you're too busy. If you're too busy to study God's Word, you're too busy. If you're too busy to live for God, you're going to go to hell too busy. We've got to make up our minds. I am going to fight to keep the good things in my schedule. And so it is, we need to look for opportunities to fellowship with one another. If you don't consciously, actively, aggressively look for opportunities to fellowship, you'll find yourself going for years with no fellowship. And where did the time go? It's like the dad who, I'm going to be the best dad in the world. And then he come down the aisle and he's bawling and squalling, giving his daughter away for marriage. Oh, look how he loved her. Look how hard he's crying. No, the reason he's crying is because it went from her being born to her getting married. And all that he meant to do, he never did. And he's weeping because of wasted time. When she just wanted a date with daddy and he wanted a date with his boat. The boat's not a sin, but I'm telling you, you got to watch your priorities.
Well, we're all out of time for now, but we hope you'll join us again next Sunday at 11:30 a.m. when we will again turn our hearts toward God's Word. In the meantime, may the Lord bless you richly in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.